الحمد لله وكفى والصلاه والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله ان الله سميع عليم الى قوله تعالى فضلا من الله ونعمه والله عليم حكيم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه آمين يا رب العالمين Although I feel that I have taken much time in discussing the first ayah of Surah Al-Hujurat, but I feel it is necessary that I invite your attention to another ayah of the Quran, that is ayah number 59 of Surah Al-Nisa. Here you have ayah number 58 and 59 too. This ayah gives you in further detail how this principle of divine sovereignty can be enforced in Islamic State. Please focus your attention on ayah number 59. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا O you who profess to believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. And those among you who are at the helm of affairs. And if you have difference of opinion regarding anything, then refer it to Allah and His Messenger. If you have real belief in Allah and the hereafter, the Day of Judgment, this is good. Not only in itself, but regarding the final result also. Now here we find the imperative, Atiyu, repeated twice. Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul. But not thrice. For the third time, it is not repeated. There could be two modes. Either Atiyu, covering all the three. Atiyu Allah wa Rasul wa Uli Lamri Minkum. One Atiyu was also sufficient. Atiyu Allah wa Rasoola wa Uli Al-Amri Minkum. O you who believe or profess to believe, obey Allah and His Messenger and those among you who are at the helm of affairs, who are commanding your affairs, who are managing your affairs. The other thing could be Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasoola wa Atiyu Uli Al-Amri Minkum. But leaving these two modes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has adopted. He repeated Atiyu for Rasul, but not for Ulillah. What does it mean? Obedience for Allah and obedience for the Messenger, they are absolute, permanent. But for other people who are the leaders of the community, rulers of the community, people at the helm of affairs of the community, their obedience is limited by the injunctions of the Quran and the Sunnah. They can't demand absolute obedience. None. Not even Abu Bakr demanded absolute obedience. What to speak of anybody else? The first caliph, he couldn't demand that you have to obey me anyhow. In the very first sermon that he delivered after that bay'ah of Khilafah, after that oath of allegiance for the caliphate, he said, if I go on the right path, it's your duty to obey me. If I go, turn to something wrong, it's your duty to correct me. And say, still more interesting event took place during the caliphate of the second caliph, Umar رضي الله تعالى. To a congregation of Muslims, he asked a question. What will be your attitude if I go on the straight path? Everybody said, we shall obey you. Listen and obey. Nasma wa nuti'. We listen to your command and we shall obey. Then he asked, and if I turn to any wrong way, a person stood up from the congregation. He drew his sword and he said, we shall rectify you with this. And Umar prayed and thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this community is not a blind, is not a herd of sheep or goats. If they are following me, if they are obeying me, they are obeying me with the open eyes. We shall rectify you with this sword. So this is very important. Now, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ. Now, if there is a difference of opinion, it's a very important point. The ulul amr, or the caliph, or whosoever he is, he has given an order, an ordinance, for example, he has issued. I think it is contravening the limits of the Sharia. What should we do? The instruction has been given here. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you have difference of opinion regarding some issue, then refer to Allah and His Messenger only. The final authority, the permanent authority, that is of Allah and His Messenger. But how to do it? Actually, in principle, this instruction is complete, but how to do it? Thanks to the lengthy process of social evolution, and the development of social institutions, and we must admit this has happened in the West, not in the East. These social institutions, this concept that the modern state consists of, and it has three basic pillars, the executive, the judiciary, and the legislature. This is a recent development in human thought, concept of state, and having three basic, three. Although they say press is the fourth pillar, but actually these are the three, the judiciary and the executive and the legislature. Now it is very clear, if there is a difference of opinion, where to go? Go and knock the door of the superior judiciary, because now you have a constitution. And it is laid down in the constitution that there can be no law can be made, no legislation can be done, repugnant to the Quran and the Sunnah. And I feel that such and such piece of legislation, which has been passed by the legislature, by the parliament, or such ordinance that has been issued by the executive, it's contravening the limits of the Sharia. Well, I have the right to go and knock the door of the superior courts. They will decide it. And they will keep in view only the injunctions of the Quran and the Sunnah, nothing else. Because permanent obedience is only to Allah and His Messenger, to none else. The opinions of all elder fuqaha, the opinions of all our aslaf, they can be taken as precedents. We can derive guidance from them. But the argument is only either the book of Allah, or the practice, established practice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Permanent arguments are only two. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you really believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَعْوِيلًا. This is the best way, not in itself, but also the results will be better, the best, if you take to this way. Now number three, how to install the ulul amr? This is the question. How to appoint them, install them, select them, elect them? How do you do it? A basic instruction, guidance has been given in the preceding ayah. That is why I had both these ayahs here. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَى أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُم بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُم بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Verily Allah commands you, يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَى أَهْلِهَا, that you give the amanat, the trust, to those who are capable of it. So you have to select or elect or nominate or install people who are capable. And this is amana. In a society, for example, today you have wars. It's an amana. You must use with this sincerity that who is a better person or which party has a better program for the community, for the country, for the ummah, for Islam, for our deen. Not to see who is my relative or who belongs to my clan or who can deliver some good to me. This is khiyana. This is the betrayal of trust. But this is only a moral instruction, moral directive. What should be the legal form? Quran has left it open. Why? Because the process of social evolution was still going on. These days were yet to come when man had the consciousness of human rights, civil rights. We must have our affairs in our own hands. We must have a say in the affairs of the state. Although the system of governance during the caliphate was absolutely republican, no doubt. There was no succession on the basis of heredity. No son, nothing of the sort. The caliphs were elected, although this was not the adult suffrage. Only the people who were the chiefs of the tribe, they sat together and they had the consultation, Amruhum Shura Bainahu. But the principal was Shura. They had to decide it by mutual mushawara, mutual consultation, Amruhum Shura Bainahu. So basically it was a republican form of government, but the institution had not developed till that time. Judiciary, executive, legislature, it was all muddled together into one. Just as you have in a bud of flower, you have the petals, but the petals are not visible. Time passed, and then the human thought, in that during process of social evolution, these three petals of a state, flower of the state, they became apparent. Judiciary, and the executive and the legislature. And I have been saying so in Pakistan. Don't think that I am saying it here only because I am on the American soil at this time. That the presidential system is nearest to the system of caliphate. In this system, judiciary and executive are separate. In the parliamentary system, which we are, you know, continuing in Pakistan, most of the countries which were under British rule, and it's actually a British legacy, they have to keep their queen or their so-called king, they have to keep them and retain them, a tradition. But they are the two things. Parliament, it has the power of legislation also. And the Prime Minister always needs a majority in the Parliament. If a few people defect, the government goes, falls. And that's the root cause of instability of governments in most of those countries of the third world which have taken to parliamentary system of government. In presidential system, you have judiciary, executive, and legislature. You have been having here, the presidents were from the Republican Party. While the Congress and Senate had, the majority was there of the Democrats. And it worked. It cannot work in the parliamentary system. Here these three pillars or arms of the state, they are separate to the maximum practical limits. So this is the basic system of state in Islam, and the most fundamental provision I told you is that of ayah number 1 of Suratul Hujurat. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Now come to the second basic pillar of Islamic polity. I told you, culture is something else. Law and constitution. But just as every human being, every human individual, he has logic and reasoning, these are the faculties, but side by side he has the emotions and sentiments also. Sentiments require something else. Law, logic, reasoning. They have their own way. Emotions, sentiments, they also demand something. In the same way, in a community, in a society, the constitution, the law, they definitely have great importance. But for their integrity, they must have an emotional attachment to some person. It might sound strange, apparently, in the beginning, but just ponder over it. Why is it? Why was Stalin, his personality built like that, like a god, you know, to keep that society intact? All people respecting him, adoring him, so to say, worshipping him. Lenin, big statues. Why? Now, big statues. People wearing the same jacket. Why? Is there any reasoning behind it? People wearing the same type of cap of Nehru. Why? Is it logical? Why the Jinnah cap? Why? What's the logic behind it? Why the statue, 80 feet high statue of Mahatma Gandhi? Why? You know the baniyas, they don't spend even a penny where there's no gain out of it. Why are they spending that much? This is a human requirement. Khugare pay kare mahsoos thi insaan ki nazar. Some ideal. Some center of love, affection. Someone whom everybody respects. But the Jawaharlal Nehru has written somewhere that it so happened many a times, because Gandhi was not even a member of Congress. He used to say, I'm not a four-ana member even. So we were fighting and quarreling in the working committee and we were not coming to any decision. And then when we went to Bapu, he just said, he uttered one sentence and everything became clear to us. Was it by dint of argument? No, it's the personality. Who is saying it? And two authors have written this book, Freedom at Midnight. One is American, the other is French. And he says that when Nehru and Patel both, they agreed to the partition of India, then they requested Mountbatten. We can't go and say to Bapu that we have agreed to partition of India. Only you can go and say it. It's these personalities, the attachment to them, whosoever is close to them, is close to the hearts of the general public. And that becomes, you know, the central point. In an Islamic society, this cultural requirement, and then the continuity and the homogeneity. The Muslim Ummah starts from Indonesia and Malaysia, at least up to Mauritania, the west coast of Africa, solid. More than a billion. So many races, so many colors, so many different social backgrounds, different customs, everything. But the homogeneity, you know, this ummah has been preserved on the basis of love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow him. Imitate him. This has been a virtue. And then this leadership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not time. It's not only limited to a time. It's continuous. The cultural continuity in this ummah and the cultural homogeneity in this ummah has been preserved by dint of this intense love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here you will be able to understand the real wisdom behind the hadith. The Prophet has been reported to have said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَالِدِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. None of you can be a true mu'min unless I become to him more dear than his own father, his own son, and the whole of humanity. This is the criterion. Once the Prophet asked to Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, how dear I am to you, He replied, "You are more dear to me than anybody else in the world." The Prophet said, "But what about your own life?" He just paused for a second and said, "Yes, now I can say, you are dearer to me than my own life also." And the Prophet said, "Now this is the point where you should have reached. Al-an, now you have reached the real point." Why? Obedience or muhabbat is something else. Please don't intermingle these two things. Don't confuse the things. Obedience to muhabbat is part of the law. That's an integral part of the law and constitution. Obey Allah and obey Muhammad. This is something else. Love for him, respect for him, emotional attachment with him, sentimental attachment with him, and trying to copy him, trying to imitate him in every respect. How he used to walk, try to walk in that way. How he used to sleep, on the right side, having one of his hands under his right cheek. Try to sleep like this. What was his dress? Try to dress like that. He kept a beard. Keep a beard. He had those hair. Have that haircut. He has not commanded. About the beard there is a command also, but other so many things. And this is what we call ittiba. Ittiba is something else and itaa is something else. Itaa is obedience and ittiba is following. You obey when some order has been given to you. Obedience is only after a command has come to you, an order has come to you, then it requires obedience. But where he has said nothing but you are following him, this is ittiba. When love, intense love, intense respect, they are added to total obedience, this is called ittiba. And let me quote the ayah of Surah Ali Imran. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. O Muhammad, tell them, O Muslims, if you want to love Allah, follow me. But following, not meaning ita'ah, ittiba'ah. Following my footsteps, imitate me in all aspects of your life. Come near to me as much as possible. I recall the wordings of a hadith, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Udhnu dunak, come nearer. Now whosoever is nearer to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be nearer to the hearts of the Muslims. This becomes a criterion for leadership of the Muslims. That is why Iqbal said, you know, in a very beautiful couplet, یہ زائرین حریم مغرب ہزار رہبر بنے ہمارے ہمیں بھلا ان سے واسطہ کیا جو تجھ سے نہ آشنا رہے ہیں. زائرین حریم مغرب, these lovers and followers of Western culture and civilization, they might according to their own thinking become our leaders, but what do we have to do with them who have no relationship with you, O Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. This has been the criterion of leadership. These were the values among the Muslims. Whosoever is nearer to Muhammad, he is dearer to the Muslims. This fixes actually the cultural values, the cultural standards, the standard of and criteria of leadership. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Try to imitate as much as you can my prayer, the way I pray. Everything that he used to do. This is actually prayer, and that Muslim try to do. But in all respects, that is why you find full books. But his daily routine, how he used to eat, how he used to drink, how he went to sleep, what did he say when he woke up in the morning, how he used to dress, everything. Shamail. Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, a full book by Imam Tirmidhi. Oh, Shama'il. Only the routines and the habits and the different ways of different, how he used to do those things. Just the routines of daily life. But how he performed them. That has been a subject of full books. So now this is the background. Now read the ayah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. O ye who profess to believe, don't raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet. What is it? Respect. Keep your voices low. Even if without any ill intention, you raise your voice before the Prophet ﷺ. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. Never talk to him loudly. كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. As you are accustomed to talk to each other, loudly. أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Lest all your good deeds go in vain. All are cancelled. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And you will not even be aware of it, what has happened to my good deeds. Just imagine. Only an act of a slight disrespect. That's all. What is it? لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. When you are talking to the Prophet ﷺ, don't raise your voice over his voice. Keep your voices low. Never talk to him loudly, as you are accustomed to talking amongst yourself. If you do it, per chance, what's the risk? أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Lest all your good deeds go in vain. Cancelled. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And you will not even be aware of it. What has happened to my good deeds? No masiya, no sin, no disobedience. Only a slight disrespect. Why? Because it is injuring the central pivot of the cultural unity, homogeneity of the Ummah. The constitutional basis, legal basis is ta'ah. Atiullah wa ati'ur rasul wa ulil amri minkum. But this emotional attachment, this sentimental attachment, this love from the core of your heart, this respect from the depths of your hearts, actually this is which will keep you together, cemented with each other. In the center of the circle. The nearer you are to the center of the circle, the nearer you are to each other. You go away from the circle, the distance also increases between you. And when you are coming towards the circle, the distance between you is decreased. Keep close to him. That is why Baal said, بَمُصْطَفَى بَرَسَانْ خِيشْرَاكِ دِينِ خَمَوْسْتَ اَذَرْ بَعُونَ رَسِيدِي تَمَامْ بُولَ عَمِيسَ. So this love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this respect is so important. Just imagine, Quran discussing it and in so strong words. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Now again the same thing being said in a positive way. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Verily those who keep their voices low before the Messenger of Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. They are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected after testing for taqwa. Imtihan, examination, testing is always for selection. You put somebody to some examination, some test, you are selecting him for some higher level of teaching. After every exam, you go to a higher level, you are being selected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested their hearts and selected their hearts for taqwa. Now taqwa, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will abide in the hearts of those who keep their voices low before the Messenger of Allah. Just imagine what's the importance. That is why I discussed that issue beforehand. The philosophy behind it. The social need behind it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them or theirs is the forgiveness and great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah include us all among those. Next, another. In this passage you'll find, for the legal or constitutional basis of Islamic society or Islamic state, only one ayah. Why? Because that subject is discussed in the Quran so many times. You will find it so many times. So here it is only mentioned in one ayah. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allahi wa rasoolihi wattaqullah. Inna Allah sami'un basir. And now, detailed discussion of the second aspect. Inna ladheena yunadunaka min wara'i al-hujurati aktharuhum la yaqilun. Verily those who shout and call you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from outside of your private apartments, hujurat, hujra, plural, a small room, hujra. As I told you, all the wives of the Prophet had one hujra. They were situated around the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these were the hujrat. Now somebody is coming from outside, he's not waiting, not ready to wait. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come out by himself. Yes, his own routine. But somebody, as I told you, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, there was the influx of the Bedouins. And they were uncultured, not well behaved. People from the desert, people from the villages. So they are the people in the background. Someone comes and he stands outside the hujra. Ya Muhammad, ukhruj alayna. This is again a disrespect to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moreover, it is against the norms of the society. Everybody has his own privacy, his own routine, his own timetable. Especially, the more important a person is, the more important is his timetable and routine. So you should wait for him when he comes out. Not that you should start shouting and calling. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of these people don't have the understanding. They are uncultured, uncivilized people. وَاللَّهُ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا. And if they had waited, حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ, till you would have come out to them according to your own schedule, your own program, your own schedule, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, this would have been much better for them. Wallahu ghafoorun raheem, but Allah is ghafoor, Allah is forgiving, because they are not doing it out of any ill intention. It's only there because they are uncultured people, uncivilized people, they are doing it out of their habits. So Allah is forgiving, wallahu ghafoorun raheem, Allah is forgiving, Allah is merciful. Now what is the practical aspect for us? Do you think these ayat, they were meant for only those people who were present during the lifetime of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Primarily, it seems, yes. لَا تَرْفَوْا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِي. The conversation between the Sahaba and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go on. And they were said, keep your voices low. Don't try to raise your voice over the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But do we do? We have to inculcate a habit that whenever somebody says to me or you, this is the saying of the Prophet, stop talking. No further argument. You can investigate later on whether the Prophet really said so or not. This is a separate issue. But once the thing comes before you, now, but I think so, my opinion is this, I would say otherwise, this is the disrespect to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this habit has to be inculcated. Okay? Keep quiet. If it is the saying of the Prophet, well, my reasoning, my thinking, my preferences, my priorities, full stop to everything. Later on, if you investigate and find that no, it's a false hadith, it's a mawzu hadith, concocted hadith, it's not the real hadith of the Prophet, now you can say something. But inculcate that habit of stopping. No arguments further. Okay? I'll think about it. That's all. Otherwise, if I say, Maybe he said so, but I think otherwise. This is here you are raising your voice over the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And let me tell you, this is the habit of the Arabs of today even, especially in Hijaz. If the two Arabs are fighting and quarreling, and somebody says, Salli ala Nabi, they stop. No further quarreling. Howsoever, you know, emotional they might have been, howsoever hot the arguments might have been which were going on, but somebody says, Salli ala Nabi, and everything stop. This is actually a habit to be inculcated. La tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِندَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَّهُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Now the next ayah. This ayah has two faces. One aspect of this ayah concerns this very subject which we are discussing. And one aspect of this ayah is a universal instruction for the Muslim Ummah regarding the rumors, wrong news. Some rumor is coming and you have immediately decided to take some action. And in this way, maybe some dispute arises, maybe some war or battle starts. Especially in those old tribal background, that tribe is making preparations to invade you. And now this, having this information, now you take the initiative and go and attack that tribe. So that is actually a very important basic instruction. But this has one bearing on this subject of the attitude which a ummati should have towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are the wordings? Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu in jaakum fasiqun bi naba'in fatabayyanu. O you who profess to believe, if there comes to you a fasiq, a wicked person, untrustworthy person, whose behavior, whose attitude, whose character is evidently not good, he brings you a news. And an important news. Naba means some important news. Fatabayyanu. You must investigate. Don't take any action. Fatabayyanu. An tusibu qauman bi jahalatin. Lest you should attack or you should harm some nation, some people, some community, some tribe out of ignorance. The news was wrong. It was a rumor. It was a baseless news. You took the initiative. Fighting, if one starts and erupts, it becomes very difficult to stop it. This is what happened in the Battle of Jamal. Although treaty had been concluded between Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, everything was settled. But then suddenly, those people, the companions of Abdullah ibn Sabah, the Jew who had converted to Islam to disrupt the Muslim society from within, they started the fighting. Now when the fighting has started, there is no option, either kill or be killed. So in one night 10,000 Muslims were slain with each other's swords and each other's spears. Among them two of the topmost Sahaba, Hazrat Zubair, Hazrat Talha radiallahu ta'ala. So it so happens, if the fighting has begun, now how can you investigate? It becomes an emergency. Either you kill or you are going to be killed. So here you know, this is the basic instruction. إِذَا جَاكُمْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاكُمْ فَاسِقٌ. But note the word fasiq. If a trustworthy person is bringing a news, you need not do any investigations. If Abu Bakr is saying something, you need not investigate. And this is what happened at the time of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Abu Bakr said that the Prophet said, Al-Aimmatu min Quraysh, leaders are from among the Quraysh. Instantaneously, the Ansar of Medina, they withdrew their claim. None of them even asked Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, is there any other person who can testify that the Prophet said so? No. Because it was Abu Bakr who was telling it. His character was above board, beyond doubt. In jaakum fasiqun, bedabayin, fatabayyanu, and investigate. Make thorough investigation. Antusibu qawman bijahalatin, lest you should attack or harm any community, any people, any nation out of ignorance. فَتُصْبِهُ عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ الْعَادِمِينَ, and then you might have to repent and be sorry on what you had done. Then you came to know the news were wrong, the information was false, and we took a big step. Now this is one aspect of this ayah. The other aspect is the news about the Prophet himself. And they are the ahadith. As I told you, if somebody says, tells me, the Prophet has said so, this is the news for me. I must investigate whether the Prophet actually said so or not. This is not only the right of the Muslims, it's the duty of the Muslims to investigate. Lest some enemies of Islam concoct ahadith and then they make them public, and that way the whole path of the ummah, of the community, can be diverted to something wrong. And this had been done. Ahadith, they were concocted, mawdu'at. And it is actually under this instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the muhaddiseen, they took pains to investigate. Not that if a person says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, from whom did you listen? What's the authority with you? Who told you? Then who told him? They must have a full chain of the reporters. There must be some sahabi who could hear it from the Prophet. Then the tabi'i who heard it from the sahabi. And so on. This is what we call the chain of sanad, isnad. And there's no hadith is complete unless along with the text you have that long chain. Anfala, 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 al-Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these things have been fully investigated. Characters of thousands of people scrutinized, investigated, whether somebody is dependable or not, whether somebody is trustworthy or not. This is a unique thing in the whole of history. Details about a person, about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his doings, his sayings, his actions, his attitude, everything investigated thoroughly. Is actually on the basis of this hadith. Because the ahadith of the Prophet have to become a guideline for the Muslim Ummah for all time to come. So we have to be very cautious. As I told you, whenever somebody says the Prophet has said so, keep quiet for the time being. Don't risk any opinion of yours, your own, over and above the opinion of the Prophet. But then to investigate is not only your right, it's a duty. To see whether this is an authentic hadith, whether it has been accepted by the experts, Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, what's their opinion? إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Now again, the status of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this social life of the Muslims, the community life, the social order of the Muslims. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. وَعْلَمُوا, keep it before you. Never ignore. أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that among you is the messenger of Allah. What does it mean? Didn't the Sahaba know that Muhammad was messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why is it being so much emphasized? وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. It's very important to understand. For us, you know, Muhammad is nothing else but messenger of Allah. بٹ فار ابو بکر ہی واز میسنجر آف اللہ ایز ویل ایز ہز سن ان لا واز ناٹ دی سن ان لا آف ابو بکر اینڈ از ناٹ دی فادر ان لا لائک دی فادر ان اسٹیٹس فار عباس ہی واز ناٹ اونلی اے رسول اللہ بٹ آلسو اے نیفیو عباس واز دی انکل حمزہ واز دی انکل آف محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم is not uncle equal in status to father for Aisha for Hafsa Muhammad was not only Rasulullah but their husband now the attitude of a wife toward a husband that is an attitude that has certain aspects of its own maybe in behaving as a wife to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam you ignore his position of Rasulullah Never ignore it. Abu Bakr, although you are father-in-law of Muhammad, you are the follower of Muhammad. And Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Never let this position of Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم go out of your sight. He is Abdullah. He is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. He is Zawj of Aisha, Hafsa, and so on, Umm Salama, and so on. He is father-in-law of Ali, father of Fatima. But you must keep his position as messenger of Allah supreme in your mind, always before you, so that your attitude remains what it should be. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ Now what about us? He is not within us. Although for us Muhammad has only one position and that is of Messenger of Allah. But that must also be kept in mind. Even though Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not amongst us now in person, he is amongst us as far as his teachings are concerned. His sunnah is concerned. It's a living sunnah. It's not a dead sunnah. It's a living sunnah. So we have to keep the position of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as messenger of Allah before us. Although he was definitely a human being. But his position of messenger of Allah has to be kept in mind every moment. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ If he, translation should be, obeys you. But because It's to be used for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must use the words, if he accepts your advice, if he accepts your inclinations, fi kaseerin min al-amr, in many matters, la'anittum, you will find yourself in difficulty. It was the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have regard for the opinion of his companions. For their sentiments, for their feelings. And it did happen sometimes that he put his own opinion behind and he acted according to the opinion of the companions. Out of courtesy, out of, you may say, regard for them, regard for their feelings. And the most important incident is that which happened at the battle of Uhud. Personal opinion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that we should defend from within the walls of Medina. Not confront the Quraysh army in the open field. But when he saw many of the Muslims, especially the youth, especially those who didn't have chance to go to Badr, they felt deprived. We couldn't be present at Badr. Then those who accepted Islam after Badr, well, they said, we want shahada. Shahada se matloob o maqsood e momin na wale ghanimat tak ishwar kushai. We don't care about victory or defeat. We want shahada for the cause of Allah. To lay down our lives. Why should we behave as cowards and defend the city from within the walls? Why shouldn't we go out? And the Prophet took their opinion. have regard for their opinion, decide, okay, we shall go out and fight the Quraysh in the open field. But what has happened? Everybody knows it. So the attitude should be, try to see what he is inclined to. Not force on him your own opinions. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Keep before your mind, he is the messenger of Allah. Not an ordinary person. لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَلِمْتُمْ. If he obeys you, if he follows you, if he takes your advice in most of the matters, well, you will be in difficulty. لَعَلِمْتُمْ. This should not be the attitude. Now we have also to inculcate this attitude consciously. Everybody has his bent of mind, his own temperament, his own priorities. This thing should be like this. Now he is trying to find out any argument from the Quran or from Hadith which can support his view, his opinion. This is wrong. Be objective. Try to learn what Quran says, try to learn what was the inclination of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Objectively, keep your own opinion aside. As far as you can, although they say that absolute objectivity is impossible. But you can try as much as you can. See what was the preference of the Prophet. There is an incident that in some matter, the companions wanted permission. The Prophet said, why do you do so? They again persisted, please permit us to do it. The Prophet again said, if you don't do that, result is in the hands of Allah. That he didn't like it, it was absolutely clear. But again they said, okay, go ahead, do it. So this is not the attitude that is required from the Muslims. You must always see, try to find out what is his inclination, what is his preference, and try to follow it. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made iman, faith, dear to you. This is a persuasion to the Sahaba, to the companions of the Prophet, to have this attitude which I have already explained. Try to follow him. Try to see what is his inclination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made iman, faith, most dear to you. And he has, you know, made it beautiful in your hearts. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسْيَانِ. And he has made the unbelieving and disobedience and wickedness very much hated in your eyes. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. Only such people are the rightly guided people. فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً. And whosoever has reached this point, it is by the grace of Allah and by the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah knows everything and Allah is all wise. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.